Hey, we're coming live from our event here at the U.S. Naval Academy
in Annapolis. Yeah.
And by the way, what we're doing is our high-level members, most of whom have a pretty good size staff, are here learning the highest level leadership at Annapolis. We have Captain Hung Cao is going to be with us, who's one of our team, and then we have several others. But we're doing a behind the scenes, you know, the corporate tour of how it applies to development. But, well, I said that because we're going to talk about live events and online virtual events. And, you know, it's become a staple in this industry is the staple is in, you know, whichever lists I'm on. But, you know, as you know, my neighborhood is a perfect target for advisors, right?
Yep.
And yeah, unfortunately, I fit in the age category nowadays.
Yeah, that's right.
As do you.
We both do.
But, you know, I'm getting solicitations all the time, right? And usually it's the big, you know, the Ruth Chris, or there's Sim Steakhouse, mm-hmm. Which is my son's favorite. My son, you know, my 13-year-old is very
He costs
expensive.
You a lot of money at the steak place.
He has a very expensive taste.
Right? Yeah.
It's not like his favorite
I think
Chuck
that's
E.
your
cheese.
Fault.
It is.
Yeah.
The new one is I got him hooked on the most expensive Brazilian steakhouse in town.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm getting constantly the solicitations for the, you know, with the big picture of the Ruth Chris steak or the, you know, one thing or another. But as a staple in the industry has been the lunch seminars, the dinner seminars, you know, with a bait if you're going to buy. In fact, in the industry, you know, call them plate lickers, right?
Right.
You know, because the bait is come get a steak, and then when somebody eats the steak and doesn't buy, they get pissed off because they're a plate licker.
Right.
And we were just, I think it was yesterday, was it? It's all raining together. No,
two days ago.
We were going through an advisor who's done a bunch of live events, and there's some truisms and some falsehoods about this. Is one of what we've heard several times is live events don't work anymore.
Right.
Yeah. BS. Right.
Yeah, they work great if you do them correctly.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing we've heard is it's getting harder and harder to fill a room. That's true.
Yeah.
Well,
I'd say it's harder to fill a room if you do it the way that you used to do it before.
Yeah.
Or you only use one method of media to fill a room. You think that sending a bunch of emails out is going to fill a room. Or doing one batch of...
Or just Facebook advertising.
Yeah, exactly. Doing one batch of Facebook advertising to fill a room. Yeah. If you do it properly and use lots of media and use it in a bunch of different ways and do it with the right focus, you can easily fill a room or fill a live webinar and get a lot of results.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
And so in-person live events, let's talk about that. It's a tremendous source of new traffic. But one of the things that we tend to start with is, well, let's use this. You'll get me writing on it. Is prospect registration attendee appointment client. We tend to start with going back through the stats, right? And when we were doing the analysis with a very smart client, is his ratio here was really good. His ratio here, in other words, from attendee to appointment, was really bad. And his ratio here from registration to attendee was really bad. And we didn't have data on this, right? And what that would be is oftentimes you do it like online, a two-step is they give us some information and then they formally register for the event. So we're collecting prospect data to create follow-up systems prior to the registration. But he was saying, well, my new client results have been crappy without looking at these stages and looking at what the ratios were and figuring out, you know, problem solving.
Right? Yeah, I mean, his complaint was the event didn't work.
Right.
And what we found was, I think he had, 10 appointments, and I think he got like 6 or 7 clients.
Yeah.
I can't remember the exact numbers.
Which, yeah, again, good closing right here. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much all the very good rate of appointment to client, but from attendees to getting appointments set, this one was just horrible.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of people come to the event. And further, from registration to show up at the event wasn't very good. So this part would have, you know, I don't know, 10 times improvement, and this part could have double or triple improvement.
Well, our conclusion was, I think it was 7. He had 7 new clients, and if we had fixed this ratio and fixed this ratio, it would have been 35.
Right.
Big difference, yeah. Right? And that was in the context of, well, live events don't work very well anymore because my new client numbers aren't good relative to the cost, right? And by the way, that's the other thing is you got to figure out what's a new client worth and what's it costing you to get a new client, and then back it into what's it cost to get an appointment, what's it cost to get an attendee, what's it cost to get a registration.
Yeah, and I think his math was wrong there too, because you said he got 7 clients?
7, yeah.
Yeah, 7. And he was making, you know, $5,000 in the first year on those clients, so that was a $35,000 value of those clients when the seminar cost like $3,000 or $4,000.
Well, and then that was part of the other problem is it was all being marketed on Facebook. And what we know about social media, especially Facebook, is cost per lead, cost per registration is the lowest. And the marketing mistake that people make is they go with what's the cheapest way I can get, and that's all I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't scale it on a geographically targeted area. It's hard to scale it at any reasonable level. You've got to add direct mail, and you've got to add other marketing.
Yeah, there's a limit to how much you can do with it.
Yeah.
So to expand it, you can add lots of other pieces. He didn't add his prospect list in. He didn't add doing an AdWords marketing. He didn't add direct mail. He didn't add, which there's a lot of other ways that you could bump this up. But even so, even forgetting that, from registration to attendee, there wasn't any reminder system to get people to show up.
Yeah.
You know, 1 or 2 emails and that was it. And then from attendee to appointment, we're going to talk about this a little bit, but the system to get them to set an appointment was really anemic. It wasn't very strong. And so this one was huge, a big difference. So he should have done it 30 new clients.
Yeah. And so let's break down each of these pieces, and we can start on each level. I tend to start with attendee to appointment ratio. And part of their conversation was...
Well, and this one's really important, because this is where most of you are probably not doing this right.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think we've ever seen... We've talked to hundreds of advisors the last few months here, it seems like, and I don't know if we've ever seen anybody do this correctly.
Oh, there was a couple. There was a couple that did
pretty good. You must have talked to them, because I haven't.
Okay. Yeah. Well, let's start with my rule of thumb. Is back here at registration is where I always try to get the appointment for the follow-up after attendance.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, what the objection to that will be is, well, they haven't heard my extremely elegant, engaging, and exciting live presentation. So how do they know if they want to talk to me or not? Well, number one, exciting, engaging, whatever is usually BS, right?
Yeah.
So, it's not like I went to see Tony Robbins and I was doing yes.
Maybe you are as good as Tony Robbins, but...
Maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. But even if you were, they might be ready right then after they register, because they were interested in your work or your seminar or webinar. They might be ready at that time to set an appointment already.
Well, and I'll do you one better, is you'll get people who register who would schedule to attend and to make an appointment with you who in fact don't attend.
That's right.
Right? And now I've skipped the step of the live event, but I still have an appointment and I still have a client, right? And the last thing I want to do is say we do one a quarter, come to the one in 3 months.
Yeah, that would be even worse.
Yeah, that would
be. I want to make this sound like it's a once in a lifetime event.
Yeah. And on the registration, again, depending upon how you do registration, most people default to online, right? And we can talk about that. But let's say I have a landing page where they're going to register for the event. One is what happens after they register with them. But I would like it to be, maybe I have a landing page that collects a little bit of information. So I've got a prospect even if they don't register for the event. And then I have get complete information. And now I mail them a ticket and I do a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, so this would have like name, phone, and email. This would have their mailing address. And they might give you that because they get more stuff. They might get a package mailed to them to get them ready and prep for the webinar or seminar.
Well, the workbook for the event.
The workbook for the event. Right. Or a gift package of something.
But guess what? I could also have age. I could have assets available to invest. I could have current occupation, current income, because one argument is I get a lot of unqualified people in the room. Well, I could be qualifying them at this stage. And frankly, if I get somebody who's clearly unqualified, I could put them on a different path rather than the path of spending money and time following up to get them to show up, right? So on the registration, but then my next step is to bring them to a page that suggests, you know, and I tell them clearly, this is come to the group event and then we'll set up an individual meeting to go over your specific information individually and privately.
Yeah, you get, and it's a bonus. It's an extra value they get for coming.
But I'm gonna have them try to register them for the follow-up appointment right now, right? And I'll do that online as part of the landing page as a sequence. But then, guess what? They registered, and let's say they didn't do this, what are we gonna do? We're gonna build a sequence to, one, remind them, but two, get them to make an appointment. And if they did make the appointment, we're gonna have a sequence to remind them of the appointment and remind them of the attendance. And if they fill this information out, but haven't yet filled this information out, we're gonna do a follow-up to get them to come back and fill this information and get them to come back and set their
in a register,
right? So, but what happens
and the reminders for attending can also remind them gently to set an appointment during that time.
Yeah.
So there's lots of other opportunities for them to set an appointment.
But going back to this is, see, death is, and how many times have we seen this? I get up, let's say I'm a great speaker. I'm Tony Robbins. In fact, the best I think I ever saw was Norm Schwarzkopf. He was fabulous.
Yeah, I've heard
when in charge, take charge.
Really
good. But let's say I'm Tony Robbins, and I get up there and I give the most elaborate presentation in the world, and my close is, oh, by the way, if I said anything that you think would be interesting, go see Marge at the back desk, and she'll set a time for us to meet personally. Well, here's what happens. Is a lot of people in the room who are interested right now, they think to themselves, oh, I've got their information, I'll give them a call and schedule a time later. Or we told Bill we would be at, meet them for dinner, we gotta run, right?
It's at the end, so they think it's the end, they leave.
Yeah, exactly. And so if you don't already have an appointment, I always want to make sure I make an appointment on the way in the door, not waiting till it's done, right? Which again, I mean, you'd rather have two people, right? You'd rather have somebody registering them and greeting them at the door, and then you're going to actually do the presentation. But, you know, we'll actually, like if it's, we're in a hotel here in Annapolis, but if we were in a hotel, I'll put, you know, tables across the door. They can't get in. It's just like going to a concert.
Yes, they're checking. It's a check-in table.
Yeah.
So they check in for the registration.
I check them off the list.
Yeah, at the check-in, at that point on the way in, they're going to get asked to set the appointment. When are you going to come in when are you going to set an appointment with you to... Yeah.
For your follow-up consultation.
Right.
Free of charge. And by the way, you've got to have the person at the desk trained properly in the script and incentivized, because what they're going to say is, well, I got to go check with wife, husband, schedule. I've got to go look at
my calendar.
Yep. And we know that, you know, 25, 30% versus 80, 85, 90% is, I understand. As you can imagine, Wozinski is going to be really, really busy next week. I have a few slots available. tentatively do you think Monday or Wednesday would work better for your schedule? We can just pencil something in. If it doesn't work, I'll give you all the contact information. We can reschedule it. But tentatively, what do you think will work better for your schedule? And then they say, well, I know that Monday I'm working. Tuesday, I'm not sure. Do you have anything else? Well, we could do Thursday, or we could do the following Monday. Oh, I can do Thursday. I know that works. And that ends up in that conversation, right?
Yeah, and this is really important. This is really critical, what Steve just said, is you've got to be able to do the pencil in tentative conversation.
Yeah.
And this is where people just fail and go from 20% appointment rate to 95% appointment rate.
Or, and those are real numbers. 30 or 40% in this context.
Yeah, maybe, but it goes to extreme numbers, extremely positive numbers, like 90, 95% appointment rate.
Well, I've had events where it's 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. It's completely different when you have this statement. People will 80% of the time give you the, I get a check, something or other. Yeah. And you've got to be able to have this other statement in there. And the two things we said are, you ask for the appointment on the way in, and then do the 10.
If you haven't made it already.
Now, if you made it already, they should be confirming the appointment here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you already know whether or not they've set an appointment. If you have, good. I see that we're scheduled on Wednesday at 5:30. We're going to look forward to seeing you then. Don't forget, we're going to be and remind them whatever other information. And that way, you're going to make sure they show for the appointment, which is the other step we're going to talk about in a second.
And that conversation we were having Tuesday, is the statement was made, yeah, but I'm pretty selective on making sure they're qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the appointment rate is I didn't schedule appointments for anybody who wasn't qualified to talk to. And is that a good or a bad thing? Well, it's both, because one is, no, I don't want to personally chew up 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. With somebody who's no way, no how going to be a qualified appointment. But what I don't want to do is I don't want to put qualified people in this pipeline to begin with, right?
Unqualified people.
Unqualified. Yeah. So I want to only be targeting qualified people back here. Some unqualified people are going to make it through, and then I want to be sorting them out here. And if they make it through this gauntlet, I want to be sorting them out here, right? Mm-hmm. So that I know ahead of time that I only have qualified people in the room, with rare exceptions.
Yeah, you don't want to, I mean, what you wouldn't want to do, what you want to do is market better here and have the filtering systems get really, really good people here so that you can have a lot more appointments in this place. What you wouldn't want to do is filter them late. So you wouldn't want to get a lot of people with appointments and then you got to chew up a lot of your time dealing with them and filtering them here. That uses up too much time. So the earlier you can filter them, the better. If you filter them too early, like before you even do the, you know, the screening,
then
you wouldn't get any leads. Yeah.
Well, you filter who's seeing the ad.
Right.
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 And so we're here. What people forget, I had this conversation, this is an extreme example, but they put an event up on Facebook and were all excited because 75 people had said they were going to show up the event on Facebook. Well, the level of commitment for checking, you know, there was an event on LinkedIn, same deal. You know, you can promote a thing and they can accept and you can invite. Well, most people who said yes don't remember it exists. 3 hours later, right? Much less, you know, a week and a half from now, right? But what we always build out here is from the time they register, whether it's, you know, at this level or this level, is they're getting text follow-up. Notice I didn't start with email. They're getting email follow-up. They're getting direct mail follow-up. In all likelihood, they're getting a live person calling them, and they already haven't already set an appointment yet. They're scheduling the appointment, right? So they're
for
getting,
the ones that they actually get live on the phone,
and they're getting automated voicemail.
And some of you might be thinking, "Well, that's a lot." No, it's just like barely enough.
Yeah, and they're getting retargeted on Google and all of their properties, Facebook and all their properties. Again, if they're already set an appointment, They're getting reminded by all of those mechanisms about the event and the appointment. And if they haven't set an appointment, they're getting reminded to set the appointment and about the event, right?
To make sure they show.
And by the way, once that's set up, it's automated. And the only part that's not automated happens automatically is the live person calling them, right? And I'm happier to have a live person calling them if I know they're qualified, right? They just told me they have, you know, $12 million to invest. I'm much more likely to not be concerned about that.
Yeah, you shouldn't mind making a phone call if they've got much money to invest.
You know, than if they work at Taco Bell and have 22 cents in the bank. To give an extreme example.
And those people that aren't qualified, if they go this path and maybe they get a free report, and maybe you don't remind them of attending, but maybe they show up anyway, that's fine. But
maybe they get the virtual.
Recording of it. Yeah. But they maybe one day they will have money and maybe they will be able to invest more and be a good quality client. That's fine. They can still know you and know about you and they'll get back into your circle later. But right now, this system helps filter them out.
Yeah. And let's go back to here now and shift gears for a second. When you start the marketing, and first of all, a mistake is just doing social media to market it. Not that it doesn't work, it just doesn't work.
It's not the only thing you should do.
Yeah. But let's talk about bait. Is part of, I think, the problem is, and certainly my analysis of all of the, steak dinner postcards and mailings and stuff that I get at my house, which, they're doing a lot of mailing, but they're so bad at copy and so limited in their resources to present what it is that they're doing, is they resort to, a $50 steak dinner as the hook to get me to come in, right? And I have two arguments with that. Is one is, like in my case, I don't really want to talk to people. I don't really want to show up an event unless it's something I'm interested in. Now, I show up to lots of webinars and stuff, but it's because I'm interested enough in the topic, right? And I'm going to learn something. But I'm an outlier, as are you, but we know our time is worth $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 an hour. So I'll buy my own damn steak. But I'm only showing up if it's something I really want to learn about, right? And that I'm really enticed about. And most of what I see only barely touches the surface of what the topic is. And it's all about the steak or the Italian dinner or whatever. Again, Sims is on the great steakhouse, but, we go there and have fun with my son, but I don't need to come and listen to a pitch for an hour.
Yeah, I want to focus on the bait's wrong. And the bait's for one thing, and you're trying to shift me to something else.
Yeah. And
I think they're improperly using the law of reciprocity. I think the argument would be, like from the book Influence, there's a law of reciprocity. If I give you something, you'd be willing to give me something back.
Yeah.
It's kind of an improper use of that because it's not... It's like too much bait.
Yeah.
That's the wrong kind of bait for what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah. And by the way, not that that doesn't work, and not that it hasn't worked, and not that it doesn't still work. It's just that when I hear somebody complaining about, I got too many unqualified people, and I got too many people who weren't really interested in, what it was we're doing, and I got some retirees with no money. I lived near a military base and I got a master sergeant and have two pennies to rub together that just wanted a free steak dinner. Well,
it kind of makes sense if that's the bait.
Yeah.
If you're putting the wrong kind of bait out that doesn't really have any connection with what you're selling, then it would make sense that these percentages would be low downstream because it wasn't really any, they came for one thing and you're trying to do something else with them.
And depending upon who you're trying to get. I mean, if you're trying to get somebody who has $10 million to manage, well, in most cases, unless it's the recent inheritance, they've got more going on in their life.
They don't need a free steak dinner.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they buy their own steak dinner.
One, they don't need it. Yeah. And two, they don't want it. I mean, well, we have a friend who teaches dentists you know, how to not have to practice anymore. And he has a threshold that he won't, beyond which he won't deal with. But he has a level where they pay him $80,000 a year for the privilege of not having to show up for anything. I mean, literally, it's, yeah, you don't have to show up for meetings, you don't have to show up for this stuff. We'll just, you know, here's where you transfer the money, we'll take care of it for you. Now, he's doing real estate, you know, curated investments. But it's the same principle, right? Is for me, you know, if option one is I got to show up for 2 hours and it's $500. Option two is $2,500, but I don't have to show up, and you know I'm going to get all the same benefits. I'll take the $2,500. I don't have to show up, right? But all the way along here is think about one, the copy and how you're enticing them. What the bait is, right? And if the bait was directly related to solving their problem, right? Option A is, you're going to get a free copy of my book. You're going to get 3 reports about this area, but you've developed the ad copy at a high enough level that, again, to steal from John E. Kennedy, a famous copywriter, you know, from years back, but he said you've got to get inside the conversation already going on in their mind.
Right? Yeah, already going on in their mind, like they're thinking about what's going on with them. It wasn't a steak dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't open the mail and say, I wish somebody would give me a free steak,
right?
But it might be, oh my God, you know, I pay enough freaking taxes. What's going to happen with the new tax plan?
Or I need my kid to go to college.
Yeah.
Or I need to pay for my kid going to college. Yeah. I'm really worried about that.
Yeah, depending upon who you're targeting, right? So you've got to get in the conversation that's already going on in their mind. And said a different way, I think this is the way Dan Kennedy would say it, is I want to be like I was eavesdropping on the conversation that they were having at the kitchen table, you know, late at night.
Right.
What are their worries? What are they stressing about? What are they emotionally engaged in? And then I want to show them that I have the solution for it, right?
Yeah, that's a big point that everybody needs to anchor in is what would they be talking about at the kitchen table? What are they worried about, especially in what you provide?
Yeah.
And that's what you write about. You don't write about, you know, please come and listen to me because I'm a certified financial planner
a free retirement planning seminar.
Yeah.
Okay.
They can Google that.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to talk later. We'll do another segment on online versions of events. But
because they can work just as well as in person.
Yeah. But and you have to decide how geographically centric you want to be, right? I mean, we've done it where we go do one in Dallas, Houston, L.A., San Francisco, Toronto. Where else did we do? I mean,
we've done Vancouver. We've done California.
We've Chicago.
Done a bunch of places in California.
But I mean, you could do all over North America or all over the U.S. where they show up in person. But you can also do it sitting in your office now and doing it virtually. The thing to keep in mind, and we haven't talked much about marketing. I've touched upon it. And you know what happens, a lot of people use organizations that do this for them. But then they get fixated on this organization, the social media marketing, and I pay them X amount, and as long as the cost per attendee is reasonable, right?
Yeah, and they kind of abdicate the idea of what they're doing to generate bodies in their in their online or offline webinar or seminar, and that's a big mistake. I mean, you've got to be able to make sure you keep good track of your numbers at each level.
And so you have, you know, direct mail, TV, radio, newspaper inserts.
All these, sometimes we get a reaction from the direct mail or TV and radio too, but direct mail especially.
Or people say, you know, newspapers are dead.
Yeah, and this really isn't true, but you've got to use them the right way. Like direct mail, for example, you've all got a prospect list of people that you've had that have filled out a form or you know, requested information or coming to see you before, but aren't current clients that maybe decided this is the right time for them to work with you. Those people would be fantastic to mail 2 or 3 postcards to or a letter to, and say, hey, we're having a seminar and this is what it's about. Why don't you come to it, or give them some incentive to come to it because it would be valuable for them. That would work like gangbusters and get a lot of people to come to it. And then using some of these other pieces to that kind of group.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many different options. Tony Robbins a friend of ours, Larry Black, did the same thing. But you know, Tony Robbins got started his speaking career because he's working for the Diamonds. And what he would do is go into a community a month early and go do presentations to pitch tickets for, right? My friend Steve Black, he does that for Brian Tracy. So Brian's coming, he'll fly in 6 weeks early, and he'll go do a presentation at real estate, anybody who has salespeople.
Yeah.
So real estate offices and life insurance companies, et cetera. And he'll basically do a little motivational sales presentation for an hour or two, and then sell tickets to the main event, right? Now, that's a solution that most people wouldn't think of, is going in and using other companies' employees and base to do that. But when you start looking at promotion, one that I like to look at, and you're remiss if you don't pay attention to anybody who's doing a good job, even if it's not exactly what it is you're doing. Kennedy calls that marketing incest. Is everybody look around what everybody else is doing and do the same thing?
Yeah.
Earl Nightingale said, if you don't have a good model for what to do in your business, look at what everybody else is doing and do the opposite.
Do the opposite, right?
But when you look at it, is there's a lot of different ways from it. What I was going to say is Rich Dad Poor Dad. What's his name?
Kiyosaki.
They have a national tour. Robert Allen, No Money Down, they have a national tour. All of it, comparable people, comparable audience, right? But they'll do, go on TV to promote it, run TV ads, run Valpak. They'll do an 11 by 17 trifold.
Inserts in the newspaper.
In Valpak. Yeah. They'll do inserts into the newspaper. They'll do infomercial in 30-second or 60-second spots. They'll do radio spots. They'll do direct mail. And I don't know, probably they do regionalized magazine ads,
they may.
Right? And I didn't put social media on here, should be.
You did. It's right there.
Oh, well, there I go. I can't read my
so
own.
So that's name, Facebook. Right? That covers Facebook.
LinkedIn, yeah. Instagram, et cetera.
Yeah.
But if you look at those people who are really filling rooms, right? And usually if they're going from city to city to do it, that's a good model for how do they fill a room with mm-hmm. qualified people, right? And I was talking to a very successful advisor otherwise, but he said, I don't want to do live events anymore and direct mail doesn't work. It's like, well, okay, why don't you want to do live events? Well, it's too expensive to get a client. And as usual, I said, well, tell me about, no, I don't want to do that anymore. Well, maybe you should, maybe you shouldn't, but until you looked at your numbers, you don't know whether it's working or not. You're just saying it's not working because you're not happy with level of work relative to client flow. That having been said, we know a lot of other ways to get new clients. But the problem with fixating on social media, as I said earlier, is you can't scale it as fast. So all of a sudden I go from I was doing 25 people in the room to I was doing 12 people in the room to I was doing 7 people in the room, and now I'm disgruntled about this mechanism. Well, that's probably just because you're trying to do Facebook ads. Now, and even Google, Google is
a
search,
limit.
So
yeah.
There's a real limit there.
It's limited by how many people are searching for specifically what you're offering.
But what if it was a big deal, right? It's just like any other celebrity coming to town and doing a thing. Like I was telling you, I went and saw Bill Maher.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I don't know what they did because I didn't see much of it. But usually what they'll do is they'll come in and do interviews on the local radio stations.
Yeah, newspaper articles.
We hosted Chuck Norris. And so Chuck, the day or two before, he was on a bunch of radio shows. And so they would, book him to call in and, I'm going to be in Denver tomorrow. And you want to come, right? But there's all kinds of stuff you can do. You can be a guest on local TV. You can be a guest on local radio. You can buy TV. You can buy radio. This is all in being the guest is all in the publicity side. You can ramp with social media, added direct mail. You can do inserts. There's all kinds of stuff you can do, and we can build that plan. But the only criteria really should be back to my previous graphic. Yeah, it's sticky.
I think we can get it.
Yeah. But the only criteria should be, how much can I spend to get a new client? And then what does it cost for me to get an appointment if my ratios are tight? What does it cost for me to get an attendee? And then I can figure out the budget for what's likely to happen.
And once you start doing these, if you do one and get all this stuff happening, then what we do, there's just a checklist of what to do for the next one and the next one and the next one. And you start churning these out at a regular basis. And that generates a lot of lead flow.
Yeah. And really, if you want, you know, a massive growth, the thing to always keep in mind is you don't want the cheapest registration. You want all of them that provide a positive return on investment, right? So what I don't want to do is just revert to always doing the cheapest thing.
Yeah, I mean, if something generates a client that's worth $10,000 to you or $100,000 to you, you don't mind spending $1,000 to get that client.
Yeah, you know, that's a whole different conversation. But financial advisors are horrible at numbers.
Yeah.
It's just unbelievable. And
at their marketing numbers.
Well, yeah. I mean, they'll brag about, oh, I got this person, you know, 10% annual return. And, you know, 10% means they, you know, they gave me $100,000 and they're getting, you know, 10% of that compounded every year. But then if we say, if you put in $1,000 and you get $10,000 back, well, that's in a year. That's 1,000% return.
Yeah, that's a pretty good return.
And then they'll freak out. Oh, I can't, but that's expensive. Okay, well, if you knew that the investment was consistently and replicatable, and once it was in place, it was going to be work consistently. You could put $1,000 in the market and get $10,000 back. How much money would you put in? Well, yeah, I'd go get a second on the house. I would, you know, I would do any and everything to round up money. I'd borrow from my friends, you know, to get that back because I can keep spending it back. Well, that's what proper marketing is.
Right.
Right? Is it's, and in almost everything we do, we want to get a 10-to-1 return.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's 20 or 30-to-1 return.
Right.
But it's making sure you know the numbers that it makes sense to do that. Well, we should call it a day, but just to summarize, live in-person events work great. If you're getting plate lickers, it means that the bait was wrong. And one, you weren't getting the right qualified people, but two, you're using the wrong bait. Three is you've got to get really aggressive and focused on having the right copy. So you're getting inside the conversation going on in their mind. You're getting inside the dinner table conversation. And there's some reason to come down other than it's a free steak for spending 3 hours.
It should match what you're trying to do.
Yeah. Well, and you're going to get the least qualified people are coming down wanting to hang out with you.
Or even the qualified people won't be in the right mood to set appointments.
Yeah. You've started the relationship a little backwards.
Mm-hmm. Other thing I'd want to point out to add onto the list is be good at when you set appointments and where you set the appointments, preferably right when they register. Next would be at the beginning of the seminar, and then again try to set the appointment in other spots along the way.
Well,
it can't be just wait till the end of the whole thing and then throw it up in the air.
And by the way, depending upon what the promotional cycle is, we've had a lot of people who came in for their personal appointment before the live event happened.
Yeah, sure. Right? There's no reason the appointment can't be right. You might be marketing this thing a month ahead of time. They could set the appointment and do the appointment right then. It can be well before the live event.
Yeah, you can wait 2 months.
Yeah. They don't need to wait. So the appointment can be set way early. And that means, you know, you'll get, instead of getting, in our one example here, easily, could have gotten 35 clients instead of 7. So what's that? A six times 600% better results than what he could have gotten just by cleaning up some of these pieces.
Yeah.
And that's absolutely reasonable and doable. So there's a lot of things to do that really don't require hardly any extra work. And that wasn't even marketing it better.
Yeah. On that note, we'll call it a day. And we'll talk in a different segment about online.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.